Hello, Karen.
Hi, Jack. How are you?
Very well. A few more miles put on the clock this week. Been on both in the car, on the train. Only thing I haven't done this week is fly.
It's probably a good thing, though, isn't it? You've not flown anywhere this week.
I don't think I could fit it in with everything that's been going on. I've even been stuck in the bottom of a quarry this week.
Oh, my God.
All in this weather as well.
What were you doing in the bottom of a quarry?
Oh, some video testimonials and some footage of product for one of our clients. But I know you've been busy on the road as well over the past week.
Always busy, out and about. And you know what? I think if you have children, you appreciate half term and how quiet it is on the road in half term. As soon as those kids go back to school, your journey time just doubles and you forget. And then you've got no time to get your Costa. You're rushing out the house. So, yes, today has been a little bit challenging, but I made it home. That's the main thing.
But you've also had some, we've had some great feedback from last week's guests, haven't we? So, you know, remind people who we had on last week.
Oh, we have indeed. Yeah, we had the lovely Dave Young on from ICC Belfast, and he was fantastic. There's so much. I mean, he's done such a lot in his career already. And I think we described him as a bit of a nomad. He's kind of moved up and down the country, lots of different venues, lots of great experience. And we were most excited to learn about his Robot Wars winning streak because he actually won it twice. That's what he told me. And you wouldn't expect it. So, yeah, it was a really, really interesting chat with him. So, yeah, if you haven't listened to it, definitely download it and listen to it.
Callum did a great job because that teaser that we put out in terms of can you guess what he was talking about? You know, the number of comments we got back in terms of prior to the episode going live was really funny. But, yeah, let's move on to today's guest because we were in Ireland last week and we're in Scotland this week. And we've got the wonderful Naomi Hollis with us who – I think a lot of people in the industry now know, especially here in the UK, there's a young event professional. Anyone under the age of me is young. So a young event professional and founder of Event Grads. And a lot of people know a lot about Naomi and the Event Grad story, but don't really know a lot about her own professional development from leaving university and the jobs that she's done because she's already quite an experienced event professional with a lot of trade under her belt. So that's where I really want to unpick today. You know, yes, we'd be wrong not to talk about Event Grads, but I really want to find more about Naomi, the event professional. So before she comes in, let's hear from our season sponsor and then we'll be right with Naomi.
We specialise in protecting people. The people who go to events and the people who put them on. With our award-winning app and cloud-based control room, you can get rid of your spreadsheets and WhatsApp groups and connect all your disconnected teams. We are Halo. And you can find out more by emailing hi@halosolutions.com.
Naomi, hello, welcome.
Hello, how are you guys?
Good, thank you, really good. Nice to have you on.
Thank you for having me.
So we've chatted for a while about this in terms of you coming on the podcast and we've had a bit of a debate in terms of make sure we get a good demographic mix in terms of the podcast. And I don't think you'll be upset with me saying you are representing some of our younger audience on the podcast. I said to Karen before on the intro, that anyone younger than me is young. You know, that's the level that we're at. But you represent a younger demographic in terms of the people sat around this microphone.
I'm often mistaken for Gen Z, and I'm apparently Zillennial, a bit of a middle between Millennial and Gen Z. And it's a compliment. So, younger generation sounds good to me.
Yeah. We're not going to say university, although you can go to university at any age now, but we're not going to say that young. We're just going to say younger than myself. And that's a good start for anyone. It makes me feel younger, actually. So to get us started, I think it'd be really nice for people to, let's talk about what you're doing now, because you've gone through quite a bit over the past 12 months, and especially even over the last few months. So it'd be nice for people to understand what your day job is now, but also what's occupying your time.
So my current role, I've just recently gone freelance as a freelance events, marketing and festival professional. And my current role is a project executive at Audity, Audity Events and Marketing, which is an agency based in London, a female agency. And that's been a real eye-opener because I'd never worked in an agency before. So this is a really exciting new experience for me. So we're working working remotely as I'm up in Edinburgh and they're based down in London, but it's all very exciting. And alongside working with Oddity and being freelance, I've just finished off and working at a festival called Celtic Connections, doing marketing for them. So yeah, things have changed a lot recently, as I was full-time up until December and then I decided to go freelance. And alongside being freelance, I run a community called Event Grads, which is a community for event management students and graduates. And I recently took the role as coordinator for the event apprenticeship programme with the British Visits and Events Partnership. So that's a very small overview of what's going on right now.
That sounds like quite a lot to me, Naomi, already. That's amazing. So can you just tell us how you got into events? So your journey, your education, kind of, you know, and way and how you got into the job that you're in now? Because I think a lot of our listeners like the whole story behind event journey, because a lot of people don't really start off in events, they kind of end up in it. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Of course. So it is a bit of a long one. Again, one of those people that fell into events. I feel like you hear that very often, almost on a record. But I didn't know I wanted to do events until 2 years out of high school. So I was not very academic. I despised school. I came out with about 2 C's and Scottish Highers in biology and PE. So, you know, not going in the right direction for what I ended up doing. But I was a gymnast at the time. And through gymnastics, I got the amazing opportunity to volunteer at the Commonwealth Games while they were in Glasgow on the field of play of gymnastics. So as you can imagine, it was like right on where the gymnastics were. It was the most amazing experience, you know, getting involved with all the everything from the spectators to the athletes themselves to everyone that was there. It was just an amazing experience. And that really sold me not only on event management, but also on Glasgow as a city. So that was in 2014. And in 2015, I moved my life from the Highlands of Scotland to the big city of Glasgow. And I started a college. So as I said, I didn't really have many grades. I didn't have much behind me other than the Commonwealth Games. And as you can imagine, at the time, there was a big boost for people going to college and uni for events after the Commonwealth Games. So I started going to the City of Glasgow College, and that was a 2 year, in Scotland we have HNC and HND. So it was you know, 1 year to 2 year kind of a course qualification. And during that period of time, I fell in love with events. I had no idea. I think when I went into it, I had no idea. I'd seen like this mega sporting event. I had a bit of a passion for sport and I was like, yeah, let's do this. I did not realise the extent and the, you know, the size of the industry. So in college, you have very different learning experience to university. It's very much like you have a class on or a module on like finance, live performance, conferences. You know, it's very specific to areas within events. And during that time, I thrived. I got A's. I was like, what is going on here? I'm doing well in an academic, you know, capacity. And through college, I was able to do a gateway course into university. So with my A's at college, I got to do university. And in Scotland, we have 4 years of university. So I did 2 years of college, 2 years of uni, and graduated in 2019. So at that time, I was a bit of an older student because I'd been out of school for about 2 years before I went into this. So that was my academic experience. And while I was there, loving my life in Glasgow, loving my life at college and university, I was volunteering at every single thing that I could. I was gaining as much experience as I could. I just loved being in that environment. And I loved being able to go into college or university and be able to talk about and write about and kind of put into practice what I was learning while I was out there volunteering and things. And I was just absolutely thriving in it. So during that time, I had a passion for, it's really funny looking back. So my background's mostly in festivals, which I'll get to. But when I went into college, I was like, that's the last thing I want to do. I hate music. Like, I'm not very musically inclined in the slightest. And I was like, weddings, I'm in for this. Sport events, weddings, that's where I'm going to be. That didn't happen. And I ended up going into festivals. So up on the Isle of Lewis, there's a festival called Hebkelt. That's where my family are from. So I started volunteering for them. And through that, and through university, I gained more connections and more opportunities, and I started working for more festivals across Scotland, mostly in the Highlands to begin with. And then in my third year of university during the summer, you don't usually have placement years, but we had an opportunity to do a 6 month placement with a music promotion company called DF Concerts, who put on like, they used to do Tea in the Park, Transmit and everything. So I got a 6 month internship with them, and that kind of led me to my graduation, where I got a graduate job with them as an event office manager on site at Transmit in Glasgow Summer Sessions, which is insane. And from there, the pandemic happened, to be honest. That's where that kind of ended. After that graduate job, I started working for a small candle making company, which was a very different types of events from festivals to retail events. As you can imagine, it was more, you know, influencers, well-being, that kind of thing, which I loved at the time. But when the pandemic happened, it kind of, you know, put things into perspective. So that was my career journey and educational journey up until the pandemic, really.
I'm gonna go right back and ask you a question in terms of volunteering. Why volunteer?
Because it's the best thing in the world. Volunteering for me, it gave me an opportunity. I think as a student especially, or as like even before with the Commonwealth Games, you have a lot of, what's the word I'm looking for, a sway as a student or a young person kind of entering the industry, because you can be like, look, I'm a student, I'm willing to learn, give me an opportunity. And volunteering your time for that lets you gain experiences you wouldn't maybe get as maybe someone looking for a job, looking for a career. You know, you get to shadow the top dogs, you get to have experiences that are really good fun. It's funny looking back, when I worked at the festivals, I didn't have as much fun as I did when I was volunteering for them, because the responsibility is very different. I get very passionate. I'm going to apologise in advance. You're going to hear this throughout of me just getting very excited. Volunteering for me has got me to where I am today, because I was able to gain experiences I wouldn't have had otherwise. I met people that I wouldn't have met otherwise. Through those connections, I was able to then take, you know, have experiences at other opportunities that they were able to kind of put me in touch with. People are able to see your passion, problem solving, your kind of zest for what you're doing while you're volunteering. And that's when they can then recommend you for other things. And I think that's kind of my experience for it. But I'm a sucker for volunteering. I volunteer even now. I thoroughly enjoy just gaining new experiences and seeing where that takes me.
Yeah, and I think it is quite difficult, isn't it? Because people are in a situation where they, quite a lot of them, need to earn money because they've got bills to pay. And sometimes they end up taking jobs that aren't exactly what they want to do. And they go in and they work and they're not enjoying the work, but they're doing the job because they need to earn the money. And it sort of, your levels of, you know, the enthusiasm that I'm hearing from you and seeing from you, you know, just looking back on your voluntary experience. Whereas I know some other individuals that I've spoken to where they've talked about their work experience and it just hasn't offered them the experience they want to in terms of their career journey. So it's a real difficult one to get that balance right. Whilst we accept that people need to earn money, to really sometimes get the opportunity, you know, it goes back to that saying in terms of you need the experience to get the job, but you can't get the experience without, you know, in terms of that catch 22. So it's really nice to hear you talk so passionately about voluntary experience, because there are so many opportunities out there if you look in the right places and if you time it right, because we've got some great events coming up over 2022, you know, in this country that cry out for good volunteers, you know, because let's be honest, they wouldn't happen without volunteers. They just wouldn't be able to run without them. We had a conversation with colleagues during last year, and the conversation was, when events come back, will we have as many of the older population willing to volunteer and put themselves into that environment due to the risk? Now, obviously, things have moved on a bit over the past 12 months in terms of what that risk actually now looks like. But I still think we're going to be hit with a population where will that older generation want to jump back into volunteering? And if they don't, that's an even bigger gap that could be filled by those wanting to volunteer and gain experience.
Absolutely. I think it's funny, even looking back to the Commonwealth Games, there are groups of serial volunteers of the older generation. And this is their, like, this is their passion. You know, they've probably retired by this point and they're like, what else can I do? And they do the same events over and over. Or they, you know, they do all the new events. It's like, it's almost like a clique. It's like high school again in some senses. But don't get me wrong, volunteering is incredibly, it's not accessible to all. It's not inclusive to all. It's difficult, because I'm in the position where me talking about this and getting excited about volunteering is of a very privileged, you know, position. Not everyone can do that. And I think that's where, you know, it's a completely different conversation, but it's where the event industry and other industries need to look at how they can support those who can't enter the industry through the route of volunteering like I did, because that's, it's not fair that we rely on that.
When we had Claire Lear on from North Hampshire Uni the other week, and she speaks as passionately as you do about kind of this volunteering or replacement year, because it actually gives you opportunity to find out who you are. Because she said lots of her students go and do placements and they just think, I've never thought of doing that before. I didn't realise I could do that. So actually, volunteering, placements, kind of offering your time really helps you see all of the events industry, because there's so much out there, you know, like festivals, corporate works, retail, like, and it's all so different and it's such different skill sets you need. To be able to actually go and do it and volunteer is fantastic.
I was listening to Claire's the other day, and something she mentioned is how volunteering allows you to realise what you don't like. And I think that's a big part that you need to experience, because coming out of college or university expecting to know what you want, it doesn't go that way. It's not the way it works. And finding out as soon as possible what you don't like, I recommend.
Hi everybody, Sasha here bringing you this week's Talent Spotter shout out, which is going to Daniel Gardner, who is a graduate from the University of Northampton a couple of years ago, who is consistently working hard and being proactive in the events industry and engaged through social medias in sharing what he's up to. He was made known to us through a past guest, Claire Lear, who has been sharing and keeping up to date with what he's been up to.
Now, I'm going to go back a little bit in terms of where you are currently, and that's that move to freelance. And let's dig into this a little bit more. You know, in terms of you being in the world of full-time jobs, someone's paying my salary, fantastic. I'm actually going to move away from that and try and find work and be on short-to-term contracts and working for multiple different people. Where did that come about?
Yeah, I'd been with my company up until December for about 10 months. So that was after the pandemic, or kind of during, and it was all virtual work. And I got a text from a festival, people that I'd worked with before, and someone had recommended me, basically saying, like, we've got some marketing work for you. Like, would you mind doing it? I know you've done it for another event recently. And I was like, yeah, sure. Like, I, you know, in my head, I was thinking I'll do it at the same time as my job. I'll, you know, ad hoc. It turned out to be almost a full-time job in itself. And I was like, do you know what? If it's going to happen, it's going to have to happen now. And I spoke to my parents, as you always do. You know, I was like, if they say this is a bad idea, it's a bad idea. I was like, that was my mindset. And my mum and dad were, and my aunties and like everyone I spoke to were like, this is the time. Do it. So I was like, right, okay, that's what I needed. So I basically took a bit of a week to make that decision, you know, like figure out what I wanted to do and could I really do this, and putting things in place, like, you know, Excel spreadsheets of like, right, what do I need to earn? What am I looking for? Day rates, the scary stuff, you know, tax, self, oh my goodness, like self-employed. And oh my goodness, I couldn't believe that. I was like, this is so adult. I remember, this is not a tangent, I promise. I was sitting in college and we had a talk from a woman, a girl, in fact, who was maybe about my age now, talking about the experiences she had. And as you know, she was self-employed, she had her own business, she was doing all this stuff. And I just could not believe, I could not imagine ever being in that position. So when I was sitting thinking about this, I was like, oh my goodness, I'm now in that position. And it's interesting how that's kind of come about. So yeah, I ran with it and I went with this festival and I was like, right, if I'm going to do this, it's a short-term contract. It was only until like last week. I was like, I'll try it. I'll see what I'll do, see what I can do. I kind of put the word out there to kind of get, you know, see what people thought and if anyone was keen to take me on for short-term contracts. And I thought with summer coming up and the festivals coming up, that would be great, because one of the things with full-time work is I was taking holidays to do my passion. So I was never actually off work. I remember putting on Instagram something like off on my holidays to work a festival, and someone was like, are you seriously going on your holidays to work? And I was like, yes, I am. But that's where the passion is, you know, let's do this. So that's kind of where that decision came from. I got to the stage where I had the contacts, I had the recommendations, and went with it. So now, yeah, as soon as I kind of put it out there, it started to work.
I think as well, what you're saying, Naomi, is that there maybe is never a good time to take that leap. You know, when I did it as well, I just was like, one day I went into work and I thought, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to do it. So I came home, so just said to my husband, that's it, I'm going to have my notice in and I'm going to freelance. And he was like, what? I said, no, it's fine. It's going to be fine, because I've been in the industry quite a while. I've got my contacts. I know what I'm going to do. And I suppose I didn't really think about it. I was like, it's all going to be fine. I was like you. I was confident that, yeah, the work's going to come in. I've got, I know people, you know, and I think, like, if you've got the confidence to do it and you love what you do, the work kind of comes in. And it is all those things that you said, like, you know, are you self-employed and this and that? You just figure that out, or you just ask somebody. That's the thing. That's what I did. You just go, what do I need to do? Do I need an accountant? What am I doing next? What's the spreadsheet? You know, and then you kind of piece it together and go, I'm an adult at last.
A good accountant. That is the first thing that I would say, a good accountant that you can develop with at the same time. You know, so it's an individual that you're going to get on with and is the right personality, because I guarantee if you get on with them, you'll still be working with them in 25 years' time. So I would definitely say that. My accountant even laughs at me now, because I'll sometimes ring him and say, I'm thinking about spending this. And he'll turn around and say, Jack, it's your money. Spend what you want. But I thought I'd just double check with you first, you know, because
we've
just,
get your approval.
We've had that development. And, you know, as he's progressed, I've progressed, and we've just always bounced off each other. And he's always been my counsel when it comes to finance. So that's one thing I would say, is get yourself a good accountant who you feel as though you can grow in events with. Let's move on then, because I want to hear more about the events. I want to hear more about some of these events that you've worked on, and I want you to try and think of one or two. We'll let you have two, because you've been ever so good so far. Two events that really mean a lot to you, and share with our listeners why. Why do they still, why they're still the ones that you use as examples?
So I've already mentioned it, but and I do talk about it a lot, but the Hebridean Celtic Festival in Stornoway on the Isle of Lewis, a little island, you know, west of Scotland, you know, you can imagine it. But it is out of this world. It was the first festival I ever worked on. It was the first event out with the Commonwealth Games that I ever worked on. So I applied to volunteer, and I got the role, I think it was merchandise assistant. And I was like, okay, this is fine. Like, this is cool. I'm excited. And then I messaged them and was like, look, I'm a student. This is what I'm saying. I was saying earlier, putting yourself out there. Because I messaged them and was like, look, I'm a student. Can I spend some time shadowing like your director, your like event management team? I just really like to see what goes on behind the scenes and what it looks like being in an event office, you know, anything like that. Just I will sit in a chair in the corner. May I do that? And they got back to me and asked if I wanted to be an artist liaison. And I was like, whoa, that is a big role for someone that's like, hey, I have no experience. But that's what these small events are looking for. They're looking for people who will come in, be proactive, you know, get involved and kind of run with the opportunity. So I've now done that since 2015. Perhaps 2016 maybe. Other than the pandemic, it's kind of ran, and it's now in its 25th year, if I'm correct in saying, or it's celebrating its 25th year. And the festival itself is only 2,000 capacity a day. It's on the Lewis Castle College or Lewis Castle Green, and it looks over the harbour, it looks over the town of Stornoway. And the amazing thing about this event is I did my dissertation on it, so you might see hear me get very deep about this, but the community aspect of Hebkel is out of this world. I've never felt anything like it. Like, people come from all over the world to visit this event. It doesn't matter who's on, you know. And as well as people coming from all over the world, people come back to the island as a bit of a homecoming. And the island's one of these kind of places in Scotland or in the UK or in the world, in fact, it has that, what's the word for it, migrating population. So basically the young people leave to go to college and university elsewhere, to educate, to learn elsewhere, to get jobs elsewhere, and don't come back. So the population is changing, but then Hebkel is this homecoming where everyone who has a connection to the island is home that week or that weekend, and it's really an amazing experience. So the pubs are overfilling, like there's community events going on, they've got the kids in the pipe band, they've got everyone in that town gets involved in this festival. And you know, you go to the festival grounds itself, but then you leave the festival ground and you're still involved. You know, it's really out of this world, and I would recommend it to anyone. But to be part of that and to work with the bands, to be that close to like the bands, the artists, the management, that's been a lifeline in my experience so far, and what got me then to the Belladrum Tartan Heart Festival and all these other festivals that got me going to then be able to work with DF Concerts. So Hebkel was the beginning for me. It's still where I hold my most loyalty. I go every single year. I make other people go every single year. And they're looking for volunteers at the moment, if anyone's keen. But it really is out of this world. They've got such massive sustainability goals. Everything they do is for the community. It's a huge, my whole dissertation was on the social cultural kind of benefits of community festivals, because you'll see on the rest of the Scottish islands, they all have festivals. But Hebkel's the second longest going, if I'm correct in saying. But it really is amazing. It's a really beautiful place and a very beautiful festival.
Did you want to give us another favourite event?
Oh, that's tough. This is I was like, oh no, I have that one.
You don't have to.
I'd say, no, I guess it's a bit of a mix, because I don't want it to just be festivals that I'm talking about all the time, because it's definitely not where my career is now. But I would have to say my role with the DF Concerts when I was event office manager, like as a graduate, was a pretty amazing experience for me. Like, if you don't know about Transmit, Transmit takes place on Glasgow Green in Glasgow, so, you know, the big big park. And it's at 50,000 capacity, like 50,000 capacity a day for 3 days. It's a metropolitan festival, so there's no camping. And the acts are amazing, and it's just insane to be part of that event team, because it's such a small team. Obviously they've got huge, like, the team is huge. It's, you know, the external everyone that's involved is a huge game, but the event management team itself is quite small, and it's DF Concerts is really like a family. So it's really cool to have had that experience and been involved and to be in such an integral role during an event like that. Like, that is definitely a career highlight for me.
And it is, it's a massive event. I mean, we came in and started building for Glasgow straight after Transmit. So, and Glasgow Green was one of my areas that I was managing for the cycling. And literally they were just bringing all the barriers down, the staging down, as we were dropping in, you know, units and starting our own stage and our own marquees. The smooth transition, though. You know, you can tell when you're going into a city that understands events, you know, because the contractors, the subcontractors, the event professionals working in that are used to it. You know, the whole infrastructure is set up for it. So, yeah, those that really do events well, you can see a mile off.
Yeah, Glasgow's an amazing event city. Like, if you look at the research, or if you just look at it in general, it's an incredible city, and it does know what it's doing when it comes to events, which is really amazing to be involved in again. So if anyone gets a chance to ever do an event up in Glasgow, I highly recommend it.
Okay, then. Question five. Now, I got wrong the other week because I said, okay, power's in your hand, Karen's ready to answer. And she keeps telling me off because that primes her up to be the first person to answer. So I'm going to leave that choice to you, Naomi, in terms of who answers first. See, is that okay, Karen? You happy?
I'm perfectly happy, Jack. I'm not bothered. Whichever order, Naomi, you want to do it in, I'm not bothered.
You know it's going to be Karen now. He's done that on purpose. Right, Jack, you've put yourself in it now. So I kind of said, this is a bit of a deep question, and I hope I can articulate it correctly, because looking back on my past career, the path that I've taken to where I am now, I want to ask both of you, has there been a moment in your life where there's maybe been like a challenge, or, you know, something happened that was out of the box, or just a moment that you look back on now that you're like, that was meant to be, this is why, like, you know, it got you to where you are now, but at that time you didn't see the future, obviously. So I'm wondering if there's a moment in your time that kind of, now looking back, that sticks out to you, like, wow, that was an experience that's got me to where I am now.
I think I've probably got two, if I'm allowed to.
Okay. Yes, you are. You'd be great.
My first one is going to university, that I didn't know what I wanted to do at university. I didn't do events. I didn't know a course. I didn't know anything. I just knew that I wanted to go because I wanted to kind of make different friends, have different experiences. So I suppose for me, it was a real scary experience. I remember my first day so vividly, going there, like, your parents say bye-bye, then you just go, oh my God, like, I'm on my own. And that for me was a real pivotal moment, because you kind of left, and now are you making your own decisions, you know, how hard you work, you know, at your studies, at your friendships. That was like a real pivotal moment for me, and being away from home and just thinking, oh my God, I've got to cope on my own, I've got to cook, I've got to do all these things that I don't know how to do. That was definitely one moment for me, was actually leaving home and going to university. If anybody's interested, I did law at university. I know.
Wow.
Law and German, actually, to start with. And then I just focused on law. So nothing at all to do with events. But I tell you why I chose it. I like people. I like history. I like politics. I like the analytical side of that study. And actually, strangely enough, it helps me kind of in my career where I am now. It's that kind of process and that learning aspect of it. I know if you ever meet my Naomi, you will think there's no way she did law. Like, that's not true.
But I'm wondering, have you used it, other than like the analytical side, is there parts that you've ended up, have you been able to merge those passions, or has there been a part where you've ended up using a part of that knowledge and understanding you learned doing law and German, and you're like, wow.
I think for me, it's probably more the communication side of things that is a skill. So it's the analytical side kind of, and the learning the processing and retaining information quickly, which you have to have in events. But also a lot of law is you've got to get on with people. You've got to process this information, share it to somebody on their level as well. And I think a little bit, you know, we do a lot of health and safety in law. I'm not saying I'm an expert in health and safety because I'm not, but actually being able to understand kind of how it's written helps as well.
I would just like to say on a slightly less serious note, if you know Karen well and you've had a drink with Karen before, after a few glasses of Prosecco, she might as well be speaking German.
I feel like we saw that turning when we were talking. Yeah, he was coming out with that.
My second point, my second moment was definitely when I decided to freelance. I'd worked at the ICC, so NEC Group, and then for the Hilton, and then for a company doing, well, it was Rail Media, so it was all kind of events specifically within rail. And I had my little boy, and while I was off, I was thinking, no, this is not what I want to do anymore. And when I went back, things were very different, and I was treated very differently when I went back, and kind of it was just like a real, and I suppose I changed, you know, having a little boy. But actually going back into that role, I thought, I don't want to do this. This is not the people I want to work with. This is not the job I want to do. And like I said earlier, just came home, said to my husband, that's it. I'm not doing it anymore. So I had to work 3 whole months, which did give me a bit of time to kind of work out what I was going to do. So how I was going to set myself up, get my accountant, kind of figure it all out. But that was really scary, because going, you know, I'd had a full-time job, which I loved, then maternity leave, then I've got a family, and then I'm just setting up on my own thinking it's all going to be fine. But it you know, if you believe in it, which I did. So yeah, I'm not sure my husband was as confident in, like, not he wasn't confident in me, but he probably wouldn't ever take that risk, whereas I was like, yeah, let's just do it. What's the worst that's going to happen? I have to get a full-time job again. So, yeah, I would say those are my two moments. So two very, I suppose, very, very different moments. But, yes, that's me.
Yeah, and I'm going to keep mine quick, because they could get quite deep, you know, based on the two that I'm thinking about. The first one, quite a straightforward, practical one, was when I left the public sector to come back into the private sector. It was during the transition of councils, when they were beginning to flatten that triangle, you know, and there was a tier of senior management that they were getting rid of. So I took it as an opportunity. You know, I just had a look at it and thought, you know what, I've needed the push. I'm going to get back out. I'll say thank you very much to the piece of paper that they've scribbled a number on, and walked away from the public sector and went back into the private sector and back into events full time. So that was quite a pivotal moment in terms of, otherwise, who knows? I mean, I still get on with a lot of the management team that I used to work with in the public sector, and they often say, why did he ever leave? Well, for that reason. So that was probably the first pivotal. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't have come back into the private sector. And the other one was, and this is where it could get quite deep, so I'm not going to, I want to skirt over it quite well, a lot, is a few years back, I actually was going to leave the sector because my father was critically ill, and we were at a stage where we were going to lose him. We'd been told we were going to lose him. And it just, the pressure just mounted. The amount of time away from home had just mounted, because I was, you know, delivering everything in terms of, because of his sickness. And in the end, I just had a chat with family and just said, look, this isn't worth it. You know, I want to spend the next 6 months with him and have time with him and not be away on events. So we actually, I took the decision to close the business, spoke to all of the clients, informed them, they fully understood. But I had sent that note out to all clients at the end of November, and within 6 hours, I'd had a number of clients got straight back in touch with them and said, no, you can't. You can't, because what will we do? You know, what will we do? We've got this, and this coming up. And I said, no, this is the reason. They said, fully respect it. Well, can we do it differently? You know, is there a different way we can do this so we can still get you running our events? So they were probably the two pivotal ones, because I could have left the industry. You know, that was nearly seven years ago now, I think, Karen. I think it was about 7 years ago now. But I might not have been still working in the industry, because I'd made the decision to walk away because the focus was to spend time with my father. Now, we were very fortunate. We managed to eventually get a life-saving transplant. And as I say, we're here. I'm en route to an event this week, and I'm staying overnight at his house and recording from his house, hence the poor quality of the sound tonight. But every day I feel thankful for that, but also thankful for the clients who turned around and said, you can't leave the industry.
For this week's Quickfire Round sponsor, we're actually changing things up. We're actually going to give a shout out to the leading event industry mentoring program, Fast Forward 15. They've announced this year, 2022, they are holding a charity event, the Bingo Ball, in aid of Mind Out, a mental health charity for the LGBTQ community here in the UK. Developed by this year's mentees, attendees can expect an evening of laughter, industry networking, and above all, some great games of bingo, where there's some fabulous prizes to be had. So if you're interested in joining, find the details and join us on the 8th of March 2022 after Confex at the XL London. Remember, all money raised will be going to Mind Out. Karen, it's over to you.
So, Naomi, now we get on to the most important part, which is the quickfire round. Are you ready?
I'm so ready.
What is your go-to karaoke song?
Anything Disney. It's a hit, I swear.
Are you singing Don't Talk About Bruno at the moment?
I haven't had a chance yet, but as soon as I can, I will.
I have no clue what you're talking about.
Liar. I don't believe you for a second, Jack.
You do. You've got your Bruno t-shirt on. I can see mm-hmm. it.
Now, take me back to any of the princesses. I've got three daughters. I know the princesses, but Bruno, over my head.
Would you rather eat in or eat out?
Eat out.
If you had to eat one thing for every meal going forward, what would you eat?
Macaroni cheese.
Do you prefer a film or a book?
Books.
If someone was to play you in a movie, which actor would it be?
Okay, so I've got two. First is Julia Roberts, because she's my favourite in the whole entire world and I love her to pieces. And when I moved to Glasgow, people said I looked like Scarlett Johansson 8 times. Don't know what I did to my hair that month, but so I would go with her.
Are you an early bird or a night owl?
I like to say early bird.
What's the first career you dreamed of having when you were little?
Oh gosh, I dreamed of not having one.
ideally, yeah, that's yeah. All our dreams, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't, off the top of my head, I cannot think other than like princess. but that's still up there. That's the plan.
If you could instantly become an expert in something, what would it be?
Oh my goodness. That's such a good question. Events?
When was the last time you laughed out loud and why?
Right now.
It's like, obviously, with us.
Because you guys are great. Yeah. Duh. I laugh a lot. No, but this has been excellent. I would say right now, because this has been a great conversation.
Now, we have to ask this question every time. Do you put pineapple on pizza or not?
I knew this was coming, and absolutely yes. Hawaiian all the way.
Final question is, what is the weirdest thing you've ever eaten?
Oh my goodness. That's such a tough question. I'm trying to think what I have even eaten.
No. For our international guests, it's probably haggis.
No, to be fair, you're right. Because it's great until you find out what it's made of.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it is fantastic. Vegetarian haggis, though, if you're a bit squeezy about it, even better. But haggis is outstanding. Just don't Google it.
Yeah, never good. Because we had a whole conversation with Ross, didn't we, about haggis? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right, well, you've survived all those questions, my lovely. Thank you for that. So we know a little bit more about you now.
No, thank you. Thank you for having me. This has been wonderful. And thank you for getting these quick fire questions out of me, because it's made my mind go. I'm starting to think really deeply now.
Naomi, we'll catch up later on this year, I'm sure, in person. We've had plenty of chances to catch up over the past 2 years now. So, yeah, it's been a pleasure having you on. But, yeah, everyone who... We didn't really even touch too much on Event Grads, but I think that's been great, you know, because as I said, you know, when me and Karen were talking to begin with, a lot of people in our industry now, especially here in the UK, know about you because of Event Grads. But it's nice to actually being able to tease into more of actually you, the event professional, who is the founder of Event Grads, rather than the opposite way around. So, yeah, it's been a really lovely conversation, and thanks ever so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
The Events Insight was brought to you by Bright Events and Sayward Marketing and Events. If you like what you hear, please subscribe, write us a review, and spread the word.